Assalamu alaikum. This is Yusuf Salim from Washington, D.C., and Ramadan Mubarak to everyone. We open, of course, with Al-Fatiha. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Ihdina sirata mustaqim. Sirata ladina an'amta alayhim ghayril maghdubi alayhim waladdallin. Amin. We offer this translation from Imam W.D. Muhammad, given to the Clara Muhammad Schools, hence the community and the world community of Muslims, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All praise is due to Allah, the God and evolver, the cherisher and sustainer of all the systems of knowledge, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, the sole judge on the day of judgment. We worship you only and return to you only, begging assistance. Guide us on the straight way, the way of those on whom you bestow blessing, not those who incur wrath, nor those who go astray. Amen. During Study Al-Islam Ramadan 2020, the main focus will be on the surahs revealed in the Medina period, that is, the city of enlightenment. And, of course, those surahs will speak to the law and community practices that will be established, where Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the prayers and peace be upon him, established the first Muslim community as well as built the first mosque. Today's session will highlight occurrences in Mecca, the birthplace of the Prophet, as history leads up to Medina. The main objective of this particular presentation is to briefly examine the life of Prophet Muhammad, again, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the prayers and peace be upon him. That is the description of the Arab community, the impact and events, as well as treatment of humanity's prophet. As I refer to Surah 95, and it is called El Teen, the Fig, Ayat 3, Wahad thou Beladil, and this city of security, even in pagan times. Mecca's sacred character was respected and no fighting was allowed in its territory. But the same city, with all its sacred associations, persecuted the greatest of the prophets and gave itself up for a time to idolatry and sin, thus presenting the contrast of the best and the worst. Prophet Muhammad should have been honored in his native city. The Quran means Prophet Muhammad is an inhabitant. Allah is saying he is an inhabitant of that town, a man with lawful rights, a man free from such obligations as would be attached to a stranger to the city, a free man. He was actually being persecuted. He should have been loved as a parent loves a child. Actually, his life was being sought, and those who believed in him were under a bane. That is, they were under restrictions. They could not have the privileges that the other free citizens had. They called a boycott, but time was to show. In the next session, the historical overview of the Medina period, tomorrow's section, that he was to return triumphant to his native city, Mecca, after having made Medina sacred by his life and work. So when we say Muhammad the prophet, that God said of him, he is a free man of this town, we're saying it with respect for civilized order or civilized establishment or civilized government. And the Meccans, though they were behaving not as civilized people, they had established laws long before the generation of Muhammad. And the same situation existed in America for African Americans. The same situation existed in America for African Americans who were colored Negroes during the time of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, a great social reformer. So begins our first resurrection, the intervention of Allah, the lost foundation of Islam during the Meccan period. Another objective is to examine our community's development in terms of our lives during the Nation of Islam. Really? The lost foundation of Islam in the wilderness of North America. How, with our leader, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, The Man Behind the Men, by author Michael Sahir, led us from placing the Holy Quran on the highest place in the house to reading this book of guidance in its original language, led us from the FOI, Fruit of Islam, the Nation of Islam's men's group, from the MGT and GCC, Muslim Girls Training and General Civilization class, the Nation of Islam's women's group, to male imams, businessmen, social Quranic scholars, and female lawyers. Led us from the Muhammad University of Islam to Clare Muhammad schools. Led us from, as everyone else called them, temples and mosques, to masjid, masajid. Led us from meetings attended only by African Americans to become presidents of interfaith councils. Led us from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to Mujaddid, Imam Waruthuddin Muhammad. Led us from Message to the Black Man to Life, the Final Battlefield, a book by Mujaddid Imam W.D. Muhammad, to Medina, El Munawwara, the City of Enlightenment, a world with cooperation involving peoples of all tongues, all colors, all persuasions, all races, and nationalities, where devotion to God will produce emancipation of the soul. I repeat, the City of Enlightenment, a world with cooperation involving people of all tongues, all colors, all persuasions, all races, and all nationalities, where devotion to God will produce emancipation of the soul. Those laws for Mecca have been established for the Arabs. They had social reform teachers before Muhammad, the prophet, and they had gone astray. They were not behaving even with respect for their high leaders, those political and social guides who were before, or generations before the time of Muhammad, the prophet. So they had not only gone astray, they did not know Abraham's way. That had been completely lost. But they had not only lost that, they had also lost the better teachings for social order and government that they had received in previous times. Now, this parallels the historical overview of America during the 1930s and forward. Were we African Americans free citizens in the United States? You have to go back to the process of freedom in the United States, the growth and development of freedom for the people of the United States, because when they first formed the language of this, the Constitution for this nation, they said that we are free by virtue of the fact that all human beings are created the same or have the same worth. Freedom was given to us under a government body that was planning for our future generations to come. That is how it came to us and has been protected by the people through their legislature, such as the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments to the Constitution, collectively known as the Reconstruction Amendment, which made it clear persons born in the United States were citizens, including African Americans. During the Depression of the 1930s, a young couple, Elijah Poole and Clara Evans, joined the mass African-American migration to northern cities. In April of 1923, they settled in Detroit, Michigan, to establish their family life. To Elijah's dismay, racism also existed in the northern states. After years of working various jobs in the Detroit area, the Depression of 1930 further interrupted the lives of the Poole family. While struggling without much optimism to support his family, Elijah soon turned to alcohol to help him escape his misfortunes and his lost pride. Circumstances did not begin to change for Elijah and his family until 1930, when he was encouraged by his wife to attend this particular meeting conducted by Mr. W.D. Farrar, a foreigner claiming to be from Mecca, Arabia. Farrar's message had a tremendous impact upon Elijah Poole, saving him and his family from a life of despair. Soon, Elijah became Farrar's number one student and his highest ranking officer in a community called the Temples of Islam, a name later changed to the Lost Found Nation of Islam in the Wilderness of North America, or simply the Nation of Islam. Farrar gave Elijah Poole a new purpose for living, a new dedication, a new religion, and a new name. Elijah Kareem, later changed to Elijah Muhammad. Herod indeed was a savior, for Elijah Muhammad in that saved Herod saved Elijah Muhammad from a life of hopelessness and rejection. Elijah accepted Mr. Herod as his prophet, a status later elevated to God in the person of Master W. Farad Muhammad. Mr. Farad's version of Islam revived Elijah Muhammad's lost pride and restored his dignity with a new sense of self-worth. Now let us look at our Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, prayers and peace be upon him, and the condition of Arabia at that time. Muhammad was born into the noble tribe of the Quraysh in Mecca, Arabia, in 571. We say CE, that is Christian era, ERA, or common era. His father, Abdullah, died before his birth, and Amin, his mother, died when he was only six. After his mother's death, his grandfather, Abdul Muttalib, looked after him. From early childhood, Muhammad suffered one shock after another. His grandfather died when he was only 8 years old. Muhammad was then looked after by his uncle, Abu Talib, a leader of the Quraysh and a businessman. Muhammad received an offer from a noble lady named Khadija to look after her business affairs. Muhammad's fame as an honest and upright young man, Al-Amin, As-Sadiq, had now become well known. Imam W.D. Muhammad said, in March 18, 1977, in a reprint from Bilalian News, which is a precursor to Muslim Journal, we give credit to the work of Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah forever be upon him, for righteousness, for decency, for honesty. He was given the name El-Amin, the trustworthy one, even before Allah mentioned him. We should never forget the contribution that Prophet Muhammad made during his whole lifetime, from the time he was a boy until the time he passed away as a man over 60 years old. Referring at this time to the Quran, that is Surah 33, Ayah 21, Laqad kana fi rasulillahi uswatan hasanatul liman kana yarju Allah wal yawmal akhir wa dhakara kathira. You have indeed, Laqad, in the Messenger of Allah, a beautiful pattern for anyone whose hope is in Allah and the final day, and who engages much in the praise of Allah. Uswatun hasanatun. Our clothes, garments, shirts, dresses, pants, scarves can be exactly duplicated because of the beautiful pattern copy. Likewise, we have the life of the Messenger of Allah given to us 1,441 years ago in the Quran, in the Hadith. What did he say? What did he do? How did he react in certain situations or respond? Muhammad exhibited an interest and concern in the welfare of his society, even when he was a youth. There is a lesson there for our young people to take part in the welfare of people in general and the welfare of your fellow youngsters in particular. If you look around, you will find many unjust and wrong things that are taking root in society. You should do whatever you can to remedy injustices and remedy wrongdoings. Let your family, let your neighbors, let your schoolmates see the El-Amin and the As-Sadiq in you. The well-known adage, behind every man is a good woman, remains a true statement. The wife of Prophet Muhammad, Lady Khadija, and Sister Clara Muhammad, the wife of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, certainly were living testimonials as support. When Prophet Muhammad, again, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the prayers and peace be upon him, had reached the age of 40, while meditating in his mountain retreat in Hira during Ramadan, which accounts for Muslims today. We can say again, Ramadan Mubarak, which accounts for Muslims' daily reading of 1/30 of the Quran and fasting during this month, he received the first revelation. Iqra, Bismi Rabbika Allazi Khalaq. Read in the name of your God and Evolver, Cherisher and Sustainer, who created. Khalaqal Insana Min Alaq. Created social humans. Not many of the translations, they say just man. But really, that word, Fuensana, is created social human out of clinging fluid of congealed blood. Ikra, wa rebukel ekran. Read, and your guardian, evolve, cherish, and sustain it, is most bountiful. Aladi alamal biokalam. He who taught the use of the pen, alamal insana, malam yatlam. Taught, again, social human, that which he knew not. Naturally, Muhammad was greatly troubled by this experience. He was fearful and terrified and rushed home in a panic. His wife consoled him by wrapping him in a blanket. Sometime later, as time passed, Lady Khadija encouraged and assured Prophet Muhammad, assured Muhammad at that time about the success of his prophethood and declared her own acceptance of Islam, the first person to do so. It is very significant to note and appreciate that the first human to accept Islam was Khadija. Likewise, it was Clara Muhammad, who knew that despite his drunkenness, despite his third-grade education and lost pride, the message from W.D. Farrar would help to uplift her husband. And, of course, it certainly did. In fact, there were times in the Nation of Islam's history that Sister Clara had to assume leadership because her husband had to remain secluded. Both Prophet Muhammad and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad were not leaders from development of formal education, nor did they have knowledge of previous scriptures, but they were gifted with mother wit. Just as Prophet Muhammad had close companions, who referred to as the Sahabas, that assumed leadership upon his passing, such as Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali. We also have four renowned men of Elijah's former Nation of Islam who are still popular in society today. The son and successor of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Imam W.D. Muhammad, who never accepted W.D. Farrar or, for that matter, any human as Allah, and had his father's support to teach the religion al-Islam, which initiates the second resurrection. Through explanation of the mystical teachings of W.D. Farrar and introduction to al-Islam as revealed in the Holy Quran and the life example of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the prayers and peace be upon him, and in the role of Mujaddid, renewer of Islam. We also have Minister Louis Farrakhan, the leader of a new version of the Nation of Islam. We have El-Hajj Malik El-Shabazz, the former national spokesman of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and three-time heavyweight boxing champion Muhammad Ali. These four men. Though three have passed away, they are still influencing the life of millions of people around the world. No other student or follower of any past or present African-American leader is being quoted and having as much impact and influence upon society today as these four students of Elijah Muhammad. From 1933 until 1975, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that is, the first resurrection, used the teachings engineered by Farrar to prepare social and religious antidotes that could heal the ailing souls and minds of African-American men and women. The black-oriented, quasi-Islamic community of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad offered African-Americans a total transformation in their food regimen, that is, no pork, one meal a day, bean pie, fish, white in H and G. In their attire, everyday wear, for the men wore suits, for the women dressed modestly with a headscarf. And the religion, a major prayer in the religion was, surely I turn myself unto thee, O Allah, the Lord of all the world. No associate has he, as thou and I am commanded, as I'm commanded. I am of those who submit. O Allah, you are the king, and I am your servant. I have been unjust to myself, and I confess my faults. So grant me protection against all my faults, for none can grant protection against faults but thou. And guide me to the best of morals, and turn from me the evil and the indecent morals, for none can turn from me the evil and the indecent but thou. This prayer was timely then, and it's still timely now. No community need was overlooked as he began establishing a nationwide independent school system. Muhammad University of Islam. Although K to 12, kindergarten to 12, but the education taught was universal knowledge, hence the name Muhammad University of Islam. And it had its beginning as homeschooling the family of Elijah and Clara Muhammad. And when approached by the authorities about its legality, remarked, "Clara Muhammad, I'll be as dead as this door sill before I let you take my children to your school." And who was standing right there to see and hear that famous statement? None other than Wallace Muhammad, future Imam W. Dean Muhammad. And we all know in Islam the word Ummi, my mother. Paradise lies at the feet of the mother. The community is Ummah, from the Arabic word for mother, Earth is mother, Mother Earth. The Nation of Islam expanded the appetite and horizons of its members by teaching African Americans that the entire universe belonged to the black man. But also white Americans were affected and touched very deeply by shocking them to look at themselves all over again. As we begin to sum up, Bilal ibn Rabah, the African, was under his slave master when the prophet was preaching Islam in Arabia. His slave master saw Bilal with his index finger pointing to symbolize the oneness, which we practice in Jalsa today in our Solat. And he heard Bilal saying things, and he knew the message of Islam had reached Bilal. Then he wanted to break Bilal's spirit, so he began to torture Bilal physically. Bilal was prepared to have his physical body burned in the hot Arabian sun with a big heavy stone on his bare chest. He was willing to suffer that rather than give up what he believed in. So was his soul enslaved? No. The prophet's message had reached him and his soul was liberated, but his body was still in bondage. And because his soul was liberated, God came to his aid through Abu Bakr. May God be pleased with him. Abu Bakr learned of him, and he came and paid Bilal's master a very generous price that his master couldn't refuse, and Bilal's body was taken from bondage. That wasn't any new freedom for Bilal, really. The real true freedom for Bilal was when he heard the message Islam from Prophet Muhammad, and he accepted it in his soul, accepted it in his heart. That was the real liberation for him. He didn't care whether the man destroyed his physical body or burned him to death. He was free. Thus, there was a period in the second resurrection we called ourselves Bilalians. The prophet had to face all kinds of difficulties, boycotts, etc. Yes, they boycotted the prophet, restricted him and his followers to a small area of land for 3 years. They refused to have trade with him, seeking to starve them out. During that terrible period, Lady Khadija died. It was just too hard, too difficult. They tried their best to offer temptations of wealth and even women, beautiful women, to the last prophet to dissuade him from preaching the religion, to bring him back to their idol worship, to ignorance and disbelief. He refused all of that. He refused money. He refused wealth. He refused pretty women. He faced persecution after persecution, insult after insult, and danger to his own life, to the life of his closest relatives and loved ones, and also the loss of life. He braved their hostilities, their taunts, their harassment, their ridicule, and their evil design. He braved them in the most honorable way and in the most manly way. He went to the nearby town called Taif to preach to them, only to be insulted, harassed, stoned, wounded, and he returned from that place bleeding. And the recorders of history say that the people heard the wet sound of blood in his sandals sloshing as he was walking away from that place. He suffered all of that. He knew they were ignorant. He was trying to appeal to their good senses. He was alone by himself, except for God as his company, until relatives and companions joined him. Actually, Lady Khadija was with him from the very beginning, and soon there was his friend Abu Bakr as-Siddiq and his cousin Ali. And in time, we know others came. But for about 11 years or more, he had only a very, very few followers. They were outnumbered so much by the disbelievers that life was made miserable for all those years. Our prophet finally got an opportunity. God gave him friends in Medina, supporters from the neighboring city, Medina, that is now called Medina El Munawwara. It means the city of enlightenment, because the prophet taught there and established the first Muslim community there in Medina. And from that city, the light extended to many parts of the world, brought the revival and civilization back to the lost nations or lost communities of men. And eventually, it sparked the rebirth, or what we call the, I heard the man sometimes say, Renaissance. Yes, renew for Europe and the West. And it all started there. It was from the city of enlightenment, that illuminated city. That's what it means, illuminated. Illuminated with the virtues, principles, and sciences of Islam, as revealed in the Quran and taught by the last prophet, the seal of the prophet, Muhammad. It was there in Medina that the first mosque of Islam was constructed. Medina was a world Muhammad was established. Medina was established after the ascent and night travel. Allah took him to the great peak for excellence in the life of those people, symbolized as the government under Solomon the Wise, but him be peace. When he later decided to go to Medina to answer the invitation of the people in Medina, and with the experience and knowledge that Allah gave him in that accident and that night visit, he was prepared to go and establish the first Muslim world in Medina. It was a world he was establishing. So he went to Medina. We say government, but it was a world. It was a new world. He went there to Medina, and he became the leader for the establishment of the Ummah, the new world of al-Islam. The 75th surah revealed in Mecca was named El-Qiyamah. Translation, the resurrection. The teachings of W.D. Muhammad in book one, going way back, the secondary adult level, it says this surah teaches us of two resurrections. The first resurrection brought great fruits and great manifestations or expressions of divine being. The second resurrection brought in complete light. There's no more the light of the sun and the moon, but God himself, the light of the world. The light of revelation rules the world, just as the physical sun rules the world. The Holy Quran is uninterrupted, pure light from cover to cover. Share that with others. This Ramadan, the Holy Quran is uninterrupted, pure light from cover to cover. Hence, the first resurrection began to raise us up out of the grave by beginning to unveil the truth with the teachings of Master W.F. Muhammad and the Honorable Master Elijah Muhammad that prepared us for the time of the second resurrection. Just as the Meccan period, through the leadership and model life example of humanity's last prophet and the surahs speaking to the correct faith and belief as a foundation for erecting an ummah, the new world of al-Islam, the city of enlightenment, I mean, I'm emphasizing enlightenment, Medina, which brought about an association, a cooperation, involving, again, peoples of all tongues, all colors, all persuasions, all races, and nationalities, humanity's second resurrection. At this point, let us all recognize our study al-Islam coordinator, Fitr Muhammad, a tireless and dedicated community worker, that we should all be grateful to Allah for her community allegiance, that we are the recipients. My presentation was also aided by Imam Ronald B. Shaheed, author, educator, and interviewer of Imam W.D. Muhammad on countless radio programs. Excerpts from the book, Islam, Beliefs and Teachings by Guyam Sawa. Excerpts from the book, The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, The Man Behind the Men, Muslim Journal newspaper, published continuously weekly since October 1975, under names as Muhammad Speaks, Bilalian News, always featuring a transcript from a presentation by Imam W.D. Muhammad in the Citadel. Thank you, editor Aisha K. Mustafa. And, of course, transcripts and discussions with Imam W.D. Muhammad, Radi Allahu Anhu, may Allah be pleased with him and grant him to join those of the highest station in paradise. And we beg Allah to especially bless us during this month of Ramadan, Ramadan Mubarak.